ശ്രീമദ് പ്രഭുപാദ നമോ വിഷ്ണു പദായ കൃഷ്ണ കൃഷ്ണായ ഭൂതേ സമഗ്രോക്തി നമസ്തി സാരസ്വതി ദേവേ ഗൗരവനിതചരണി നിർവിശേഷം വരിതാശ്രതാദേശ Hare Krishna. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, text, chapter 12, text number 35. Chaturhotram kamatantram upavedanai saha dharmashapadas chatparas tathaiva shramavrittayam. Chatu, four. Hotram, paraphernalia for sacrifice. Karma, action. Tantram, expansions of such activities. Upaveda, supplementary to the Vedas. Nai, by logical conclusions. Saha, along with. Dharmasya, of religiosity. Pada, principles. Chatavara, Chatvara, four. Tata eva, in the same way. Ashrama, social orders. Vrittaya, occupations. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace Om Vishnu Paraparamahansa Parivraja Kacharya Ashtotara Shatashi Shimana Bhai Charanarvinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. The four kinds of paraphernalia for constructing the fire sacrifice became manifest. The performer, the chanter, the offerer, the fire, and the action performed in terms of the supplementary Vedas. Also, the four principles of religiosity, truth, austerity, mercy, and cleanliness, and the duties in the four social orders all became manifested. Please repeat. The four kinds of paraphernalia. For conducting this fire sacrifice, became manifest. The performer, the chanter, the offerer, the fire, and the action performed in terms of the supplementary Vedas. Also, the four principles of religiosity, truth, austerity, mercy, and cleanliness, and the duties in the first four social orders, all became manifest. Eating, sleeping, defending, and mating are the four principles of material bodily demands, which are common to both the animals and human society. To distinguish human society from the animals, there is the performance of religious activities in terms of the social statuses and orders of life. They are all clearly mentioned in the Vedic literatures and were manifested by Brahma when the four Vedas were generated from his four mouths. Thus, the duties of mankind in terms of the statuses and social orders were established to be observed by the civilized man. Those who traditionally follow these principles are called Aryans, or progressive human beings. Om Agyan Pirandasya Jananjanan Shalakaya Takshuran Manitam Veena Tashmaya Shri Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama.
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So we can see in these creations that the first things to become manifest in this world were actually all the bad things. He created all the things like nescience, illusion, identification with material energy. And that body was cast off and became the fog. Then demons were created too, and they snatched that body. So the demons are created even for the demigods. They're very powerful. So all the bad qualities are manifest. The demons are... Why? Because the material world is a bad place. Then comes all the good things. Then the Vedas are coming for those who want to follow the Vedas. But generally that's not the case. The case is we come to want to imitate the Lord. So we're given this place which is a bad deal. It's created like this. Most people want this. They're demoniac by nature. The very nature of being in the world means we rebel against Krishna. It's a demoniac nature. So here is a demoniac place. And so the demoniac principles are created first. But then the Vedic principles, etc., are being manifested. Well, those who want to make a solution to the problem and go back home, they are called Aryans, or those who follow the progressive path of human, for human civilization. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 19, the Lord's instructor, Rupa Goswami, he tells of this progression of the living entities. Rupa Goswami is asking him to describe devotional service. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begins at the very beginning. And he says, of course, it's not possible to fully describe devotional service. But anyway, he starts at the very beginning to give a clear picture of the actual progression for humans. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, in this universe, there are limitless living entities in 8,400,000 species. And all of them are wandering within this universe. And he quotes from the Vishnu Purana, Jala Jala Navalakshani Shtavara Laksha Vimshati Krimaya Urudra Shankyakka Pakshining Dasha Lakshana Trimsa Lakshani Pashava Chatur Lakshani Manusha. Means, there are 900,000 species that live in the water. There are also 2 million non-moving living entities, such as trees and plants. There are also 1,100,000 species of insects and reptiles. And there are 1 million species of birds. As far as quadrupeds are concerned, there are 3 million varieties. And there are 400,000 human species. And Prabhupada said, not one more. There's 84 lakhs. Exactly. And he gives an example. This world is consisting of the three modes of material nature. Shatagun, Rajagun and Tamagun. And according to the combinations, varieties of nature, then you come out with this figure. I tried to work it out in a calculator once, but I couldn't do it. I don't know how they do it. But he says, just like you have three primary colors, red, yellow, and blue. And if you mix red and yellow together, you get green. If you mix blue and yellow, you get green, red and yellow, you'll get orange. And so then you've got six colors. So then you combine them, six and six, or nine colors. 3 times 3 is 9, then 9 times 9 is 81. He said, and accordingly, as you go on, he said, So ultimately you come to 8,400,000 different varieties of life according to these different mixtures of the modes of nature. So that means you can have 8,400,000 kinds of desires the living entity can have. And so there's a situation to satisfy your desire. And we're trying to experience all these also. And as a result, we're still unhappy. So we're going through all these species again and again. And as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yam yam vapishmaram, that one's consciousness at the time of death determines one's type of body in the next life. This is the process of transmigration of the soul. A variety of bodies is already there. We change from one body to another in terms of our consciousness. The length and breadth of the living entity is described as 1/10,000 part, the tip of a hair. This is the original subtle nature of the living entity. If we divide a tip of hair into 100 parts, then take one of those parts and again divide it into 100 parts, that very fine division is the size of but one of the numberless living entities. They are all chitkana, particles of spirit, not matter. As Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita, mamaivam sho jivaloka jivabhuta sanatanam, that the living entities in this conditional world are my eternal fragmental parts. And Krishna says, amongst the minute particles, I am the living entities. So the living entity is one and different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As a spirit soul, the living entity is one in quality with the Supreme Lord. However, the Supreme Lord is bigger than the biggest, and the living entity is smaller than the smallest. So here Krishna is pointing out different varieties of life. He's pointing out the size of the infinitesimal soul and how it's Krishna's path. He's simultaneously one with Krishna and different, being the energy of expansion from Krishna. And O Lord, although the living entities who accepted material bodies are spiritual and unlimited in number, if they were all pervading, there would be no question of their being under your control. If they are accepted, however, as particles of the eternally existing spiritual entity, as a part of you, who are the Supreme Spirit whole, we must conclude that they are always under your control. So there's the size of the living entity, the nature of the living entity, and his position, that he's always under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The unlimited living entities can be divided into two divisions. Those that can move, like the stones, etc. And those who cannot move. Amongst the living entities that can move, they are birds, aquatics, and animals. Although the living entities known as human beings are very small in quantity, that division may still further be subdivided, for there are many uncultured human beings like Malechas, Pulindas, Bodhas, and Shabaras. And among human beings, those who have followed the Vedic principles are considered civilized. Amongst these, almost half simply give lip service while committing all kinds of sinful activities against the principles. Such people do not care for the related principles. Among the followers of the Vedic knowledge, most are following the process of fruitive activity and distinguishing between good and bad work. out of many such sincere fruitive actors, there may be one who is actually wise. The Prabhupada's talking about wise men in a lecture he's giving. The divisions of wise men. Actually, this is from Srimad Bhagavatam. 1.2.2, therefore. Generally, a man is born as an ordinary being, but by the purificatory process, he is born for the second time. When he sees a new light and seeks direction for spiritual progress, he approaches the spiritual master for instructions in the Vedas. The spiritual master accepts only the sincere inquirer as his disciple and gives him the sacred thread. In this way, a man becomes twice born or a dvija. After qualifying as a dvija, one may study the Vedas. And after becoming well versed in the Vedas, one becomes a vipra. A vipra, or a qualified brahmana, thus realizes the absolute and makes further progress in spiritual life until he reaches the Vaishnava stage. The Vaishnava stage is the postgraduate status of a brahmana. A progressive brahmana must necessarily become a Vaishnava, for a Vaishnava is a self-realized learned brahmana. And only one who knows Brahman is a first-class man. And from that, to know Brahman, one must become Brahman. Krishna says in the... Well, he says here also. Out of many millions of such wise men, one may actually become liberated. And out of many millions of such liberated persons, a pure devotee of Lord Krishna is very hard to find. Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita. But out of those millions of men who become perfect, their siddha means muktas. They've understood aham brahmasmi. They're understanding Brahman. Now they're above the modes of material nature. All that designation, everything is finished. Now they're in their real eternal identity as Brahman. And Krishna also says, but out of all those, thousands of those, there's hardly even one of those who are liberated that knows me in truth. Prabhupada says in the lecture, from Bhagavad Gita 7:11-13, even if the Garbhadhana Samskara is observed, still by birth it is accepted that every child is a Shudra, even if you perform the Garbhadhana Samskara. Janamana Jayati Shudra Samskarat Bhavat Vita. And if the relative purity processes are adopted, then it becomes Dvija. Dvija means twice born. First born by the father and mother, and his second birth is by the spiritual master and Vedic knowledge. Veda Mata. Vedic knowledge and the spiritual master gives one another birth. Upanayana Samskar. Upanaya means coming nearer to the understanding of Vedic knowledge. Upanaya, or coming nearer to the spiritual master. Then he begins studying of the Vedas. Vedapatat bhavat vipra. When he has studied nicely the Vedas, then he becomes a vipra. And when he understands the Supreme Lord, the Parabrahman, then he is a brahmana. This is the process. Because the devotee of Lord Krishna is desireless, he is peaceful. fruitive workers desire material enjoyment, jnanis desire liberation, and yogis desire material opulence, and therefore they're all lusty, and they cannot be peaceful. O great sage, out of many millions of materially liberated people who are free from ignorance, and out of many millions of siddhas who have nearly attained perfection, there is hardly one pure devotee of Narayana. Only such a devotee is actually completely satisfied and peaceful. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to the upper planetary systems, and some down to the lower planetary systems. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is fortunate to get an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna, and by the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the creeper of devotional service, the Bhakti Lata Beach. So then, more or less devotional service will begin at this time. So all these different processes that are given in the Vedas are to bring us to this point of actually surrendering to Krishna. So it doesn't matter which path you've taken, but as long as you get there. And that is actually the purpose of all these different paths, to bring you to this point of surrendering to Krishna in devotional service under the guidance of a pure devotee of Krishna. Then one begins the actual, he's situated actually in the perfection of life. He's beginning his existence as he should be. Until he's in that position, he's not acting as he should, because he is the eternal servant of Krishna. So only when eventually he comes to this point of understanding that and surrendering to Krishna, then his devotional service, his real life begins from that point. So this is a whole progression through all these different species of life. Right up to civilized human beings. Then the Dvija twice born, then the Vipra, you become learned, then you understand what is Brahma, the purpose of knowledge. Samskara bhavet, it says, that you perform samskara for purification. This is for the progression. This is Aryan. They're performing samskaras for progressive human life. This is also an argument against the caste brahmanas. Those who are born in the brahmana family are qualified and they're above everyone else. So the argument is no. A Vaishnava is actually superior to a Brahmana. The very fact that one takes birth in a Brahman family, which is glorious, but the very fact he's taken birth there means he has more samskaras to perform. Now you're born in a Brahmana family, then you'll get an opportunity to perform all these samskaras. So from the very beginning of his birth there is a samskara. And all the way up, he's performing all these different samskaras. Up to Upanayam. So this is an indication that even though you take birth in a Brahman, there's still more to do. You're still on your progressive path. And so now you've taken a birth wherein samskaras are obligatory. You have to follow these samskaras. So when you finally finish the samskara business, that on all your duties properly, then you understand what is Brahman. Then, at that point, you can become a devotee of Vaishnava. In truth. So it's a progression. How the small spiritual spark is transmigrating through 84 lakhs, movable, immovable, uncivilized, malicious javanas, then civilized human life, then following the Vedas, then only half of those, they don't really care, they only, in name, they're only following. Then the other half, practically the other half, most of those are only interested in performing fruitive activities to get some material benefit. And out of thousands, the one becomes actually wise, a dvija, or a vipra, or a brahmanas. And out of all those, one becomes liberated, and out of all those liberated muktas, one devotee, a pure devotee of Krishna, is still very difficult to find. So this is the situation that we're in. So this is why Aryan life or progressive life is, you know, it's absolutely necessary. If we don't follow any kind of samskara or progression, then we'll never advance in life. It's like in the West, there's no real samskara to follow any, you know. And so nobody's really making any advancement in life. Nothing is. In fact, they teach the opposite. They teach, you know, uncivilized. How to become uncivilized? So basically, the whole process of this progression that the Vedas is given. Mahaprabhu actually summarized everything into three. He said actually the whole purpose is to know Krishna, to serve Krishna, and to love Krishna. That's the summation of the Vedas. Sambandha Abhideya Prayotana. To know Krishna, to serve Krishna, and to love Krishna. But now you have a choice. How you want to know Krishna, how you want to serve Krishna, how you want to love Krishna. That choice you got, Krishna's given you that choice. you can know Krishna as your supplier, as your maintainer, and you can serve Krishna by serving the demigods, who are the parts and parcels of Krishna, and you can love Krishna as the Vishwarupa. But whatever path you take, then generally you'll see these three steps are there. Or you can know Krishna as Brahman, like the Ganges, etc. And you can serve Krishna by being completely absorbed in Brahman. And you can love Krishna as being all pervasive, because then I also become all pervasive. I can love myself also like that. Or you can know Narayana as the great God, the Lord of all the worlds. Lord of Vaikuntha, you can serve him as the great Lord of Vaikuntha. And you can love him because of his great opulence. And or you can know Krishna or as the hero of Vrindavan. You can serve him as the most charming object. And you can love him as the most desirable, cherished object of your heart. So Krishna's given you different ways or different choices. To even you are progressing, it's still Krishna's giving you. He has unlimited forms, so you can approach all of his different forms. But they'll all follow this process that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been given. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he's only interested in unmotivated devotional service, then he's saying simply, yes, you know Krishna, you serve Krishna, and you love Krishna. Prabhupada distinguishes him between pure devotees and unmotivated devotees. Pure devotees can be devotees of Vaikuntha also. But unmotivated devotees are those who just want to serve Krishna in Vrindavan for his pleasure. He quoted this famous verse, Mukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Shakti Ashanta, that the book is those who want material enjoyment, working fruitive workers, they're working hard for happiness, but they're not satisfied because they never get it materially. And the muktas, they want to merge, become one with the Supreme Lord in all respects, Gyanis. So they don't become satisfied. They have desires. The yogis, they want siddhis so they can perform all kinds of magic and things like that. So they have desires also. All these desires actually everybody has culminates in happiness. Whatever they do, you do in life, you do for happiness. So you, whether you're a bhukti mukti or a siddhi or a kami or a bhakta, actually whatever you're doing is ultimately for happiness, whatever path you're pursuing, the goal is for your own happiness. But he's pointing out that all of these, they're ashanta. But only the bhakta, he is ashanta, he is peaceful. Because all the others have desires, so they're never peaceful. But the devotee, he has no desires. But actually, the devotee also has desires. They all want happiness. The ultimate goal of their fulfilling their desires is they get happiness from it. The devotee wants happiness also. They all want happiness, and the devotee wants happiness also. Everybody wants happiness. But what is the difference then between, why is he saying only the devotee can become peaceful? He wants something. He wants happiness also. But his happiness, the devotee's happiness, is, what he wants is Krishna's happiness. He wants happiness, but he wants the happiness for Krishna. It's not for himself. All the others, they want the happiness for themselves. Devotee also wants happiness, but he wants to give Krishna the happiness. And therefore he's peaceful. And then he becomes most... He finishes that this whole progression throughout the 84 lakhs of species, and ultimately he comes to his original constitutional position as eternal servant of Krishna. So this is what Aryan means. It means to follow this progressive path so one can go back home, back to Godhead, be in his eternal situation in Krishna. Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Shrimad Prabhupada ki, Shrimad Veda Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Ho Premanandi. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Hare Krishna.
Sometimes we are confused when the devotee, the Vaishnava, becomes engaged in Shuddha activities externally. So what is his position with regards to being a Brahmin?
You had a question? What is his position in regards
to
being a Brahmana?
Yes, he is a Brahmana, is he a Brahmana?
Oh,
Brahmana,
I see.
Is he a Brahmana?
Yeah. Now, Prabhupada gave the answer here in Mayapur in conversation with Harisori Prabhu and Satsrip. And Prabhupada was saying, you know, we should introduce Varnashram Dharma, etc. So then they were countering Prabhupada, all the time you've been telling, you know, we're not these bodies, so why you want to put a designation? It's the last thing we want to put a material designation on a devotee to identify as a Brahmana Kshatriya Vaishya Sudra, Brahmachari Vanaprastha. So, and Harisori is saying, but Prabhupada, is everybody comes here, they get first initiation, and a year later or so they get their Brahmana initiation. Because Prabhupada is saying that they don't have to become Brahmanas, he said. They can be, they also can be sutras, they can work in the fields and things like that. So Harisori is saying, but Prabhupada, who wants to become a sutra? We come to ISKCON, a year later we get our Brahman spread and we want to become Brahmanas. Who wants to become a sutra? And so Prabhupada was saying, no, he says, you're not sutras, he said. It's just like an actor on a stage. He's acting as a king. He's not a king, but he's acting as a king. He says, so similarly, he said, a devotee, a Vaishnava, he's above even Brahmana, he said. But he's acting in one position. He acts as a Sudra, he acts as a Vaishya, he acts as a Kshatriya, and he acts as a Brahmana. He said, but he's not identifying with that. He's identifying as he's the eternal servant of Krishna. But he's in his activities, he's acting, he looks like he's acting like a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or a Sudra. But his consciousness or his identity is with Krishna. So then it can be dubbed out, our natures and everything can be dubbed out. Consciousness should be fixed in Krishna, but according to your nature you can act in any way. But you shouldn't identify with it or identify others as Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, etc.
Can I ask one more question?
The
devotee
who
wants Krishna's happiness, and that's how he can remain peaceful. And in practical terms, if I want Krishna's happiness, and then something stands in the way, then I lose my peace. Because I want to have something for Krishna, for Krishna's happiness, and then something prevents me. So I'm not peaceful. So how is it resolved in the real devotee life? Even
if I want Krishna's happiness, still I'm going to lose my peace because of his desire. That's okay. The devotee, he doesn't mind going to hell if it's for Krishna's happiness. His ambition is to go to happiness. His ambition is Krishna's happiness. That example of Krishna had the headache, so Narada Muni went all over the place. Finally went to the gopis. Krishna wants the dust of your feet to put in here. Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. Well, you'll be in a hellish situation if you do this. We don't care. We only care for Krishna's happiness. Yeah, so the devotees, they're not actually living for progression in that sense. Everyone is, it's a progressive path, but the devotees are actually not living for progression because they're already serving Krishna. That is the result of your progression. You're the eternal servant of Krishna. It doesn't matter where you are. So they're serving Krishna, so they're not interested in. Their consciousness is not into progression, because they're already serving Krishna. They've got nothing to achieve. The progressive people have got something to achieve, making progression. But when you come to the point of serving Krishna, there's nothing else to be achieved, because you're the eternal servant of Krishna. It doesn't matter if you're in the material world or the spiritual world. You've got nothing else to achieve because you've got service to Krishna. That is the only ambition, is to serve Krishna. So, devotees, they're not in it for progression, because they don't have anything to achieve. So the devotees, they don't live for their own progression, but they live for others' progression. This is a Vaishnava, and therefore Krishna says no one is more dear than that person. They progress to understand that they're the eternal servant of Krishna. So now what's it? They got nothing else to gain. So what do they do now? Let's live for others. Let's make others progress. So that is their attitude. If they get happiness from doing it, that's great. If they don't, it's still great. They're still doing it. So their own happiness and distress, they don't care. Already they're completely satisfied.
Try to make Krishna happy, not by some achievements or external actions, but they know that Krishna is happy by their position and attitude. That's how they can kiss even not achieving something. Is that right? Because it's not by achievement that Krishna is made happy, but by our attitude and position.
Yes. Krishna is satisfied by the devotional attitude and nothing else. That's great. Thank you for the nice question. Sorry, Prabhu.
So in other words, there's no material attachment for devotional service.
There's no material impediment. When you receive the probably in the where is it? Maybe in the chapter of Maharaj Priya Brother and the Son, Dharma and the Son and all that. And Prabhupada mentions there in one purport about the process of initiation. And he says at that time when you're initiated, he gives the example, he quotes Sanatana Goswami and telling how bell metal is transformed into gold by the process. He says so similarly by the process of initiation, he said immediately one gets a spiritual body. Immediately, he said. He said we may not see how it's happening, but we have to accept on the authority of the Shastra. He said, but anyway, he said, you may not see a sudden change. He said, but at least the subtle changes in your mind has changed. Suddenly Krishna is there. Before he was never there, you get initiated and you take it seriously. Krishna is the only thing in your mind. Right? Everything you're doing for Krishna is speaking, hearing, tasting Krishna. So that change you can see. And he said, of the two, the subtle body is more important than the gross body. The gross body, we may not understand how we got a spiritual body. It seems to be growing old and dying and getting sick and everything like that, which seems like a material quality. But Prabhupada said the subtle body is more important than the gross body. He said, but you can see how that's changing. Because you're always keeping Krishna there now. Krishna becomes the center of that. So yeah, so that's the idea. When one takes that decision, voluntary decision to surrender to Krishna and approaches the bona fide spiritual master, coming in a bona fide parampara, and he gets the holy names of Krishna, the yuga and the process of chanting the yuga dharma. At that point, he's got everything. From that point on, he's got everything. You got Krishna in his holy name. He's come in the Kali Yuga in his holy name. You've got him. You've been given to him. So you don't need anything else from that time on. You've got everything. So we can't blame anyone, or even some people would blame the spiritual master. But he's given you Krishna, what more do you want? So, like that, you've got it from that day. So there's no material impediment. There's no material impediment. You've already got it. If you just keep it and culture it, and keep it going on in your heart at least. Externally, so many things may happen, but it's just not going to... It's already established. The relationship is already established. And Prabhupada said, Krishna recognizes you by your spiritual name from then on. So it's already established. So no matter what's going to happen, even death itself, you know, there's impediments and just... Unless you let them happen, but if you don't want to let them happen, they don't happen. You just keep on focused on your eternal relationship with Krishna. As you said. Hare Krishna.
One of the first lectures I heard by Srila Prabhupada, 1974, we're not Brahmins, we're not Kshatriyas, we're not Vaishyas, we're not Sudras. He said, we're Vaishnavas. He said, but whatever duty may arise, the Vaishnava can perform for you. Whatever duty may arise, the Vaishnava can perform for anyone of us.
There was another devotee. They worked on we had one farm community. And they were working on the land. And he's saying, I don't want to be a sudra, work on the land. We were coming here to develop this community, and it means you've got a lot of hard work on the land and everything. He said, and then their leader said, well, what's wrong with being a Krishna sudra? So my major is I'm a sutra, so what's wrong? I'm Krishna's servant. Okay, let me be Krishna's sutra. Great. So whatever is our identity, or we just stop telling in Krishna's servant. Just like Sanatana Goswami, he approached Chaitanya Mahamiki. I don't know who I am. I'm very learned. They're all calling me Pandit. Of course he was learned. And he was a minister in West Bengal, big minister. They are calling me Pandit, because I know Sanskrit, I know Urdu, I know Persian, Bengali also. And I'm thinking, I am Pandit. I like it. When they call me Pandit, I like it. He said, but I'm such a fool, he said, because I do not know who I am. This was his attitude. He said, I don't know if I'm this body and senses. I don't know if I'm this mind. I don't know if I'm the intelligence. I don't know what I am. If I'm the soul, I don't. But whatever I am, I'm surrendering to you, Krishna. So this is whatever we identify ourselves with, that we surrender to Krishna. If I think I'm this body, okay, Krishna, I'm this body. Let me surrender my body. If I'm the mind, okay, I surrender my mind. Whatever it is, whatever our identity, we surrender to Krishna. Then we Krishna said, no excuse.
Is Shastra and Jnana the same thing?
Shastra and Jnana the same thing. Well, Shastra, yeah, Veda means knowledge. Vedic Shastra means knowledge. But Gyan specifically means when we talk Gyan, it means getting out of the material world. Like a Gyani wants to get out of the material world. Otherwise, there's so much knowledge in Shastra which keeps you bound in the material world. It's knowledge, good knowledge, how to live in the material world nicely.
Jnana is keeping you in the material world.
Yeah. Knowledge how to live in the material world nicely and be elevated to higher planetary systems. If you want that, you get it. That's knowledge. The knowledge how to do that, to get yourself up to Swargaloka, a lot of enjoyment. So it's knowledge, but it's keeping you in the cycle of birth and death. So Jnana usually indicates those who want to get out of this cycle of birth and death. So then they take the path of generally called Jnana. Discrimination between spirit and matter then. Otherwise regular knowledge that is all knowledge. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.